Consulting is running a series of podcasts during which we hear about the careers and backgrounds of some of the world's most successful technology and finance leaders. Today, we are talking with Jeremy Rappel, founder and CEO at Cornish Lithium. Welcome, Jeremy. Thank you for taking the time to join us today.
Great to be here.
You've enjoyed a long, successful career with 30 years of experience in the mining finance industry. Can you start by sharing the highlights of your career?
Well, there's been an awful lot of highlights in my career. I've had a wonderful time right from very early days when my dad had said to me, I don't know what to do with you, but seeing as you like digging holes in the ground and engineering and things like that, you should do mining, which is completely correct. So I've had a fantastic time, traveled all over the world, financed mines in virtually every stock exchange globally, and really, really had a wonderful time. The highlights, I guess, were leading the mining team at Deutsche Bank and UBS, amongst others. But really, the real highlight has been starting my company, Cornish Lithium, in 2016, which was just been an amazing journey.
And what are the main challenges you currently face in your role?
There are many challenges of being an entrepreneur, especially in an industry that not everybody understands. So, you know, if I'd started up a banking business or a retail business, everyone understands what it's like to go to a bank or handle money or buy something in a shop. But not everyone understands mining. And really, especially our type of mining is not really mining at all. It's extracting lithium from water, which comes up via a drill hole. So it's completely different. And those are the biggest challenges to actually, you know, help people to realize how important this is, how environmentally friendly this is, and how essential lithium is to our transition to the zero carbon future.
Great answer. Thank you.
Thank you.
Cornish Lithium has had some great national coverage lately, and you featured on BBC Countryfile. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Yeah, it was a massive privilege to feature on one of my favorite programs, Countryfile, and also one of the nation's favorites. So, and Countryfile were covering the battery, is Britain battery ready to go into the new economy, the electric vehicle economy, the renewables economy, and really covered us as part of that story, which is, as I say, a huge privilege to do that. And featured us at our site in Cornwall, where we've privileged enough to be recently awarded money from the government's Getting Building Fund to build a lithium extraction pilot plant at the United Downs site near Redruth in Cornwall. It really was a great opportunity to talk a little bit about what we hope to do and how we hope to be able to provide a source of lithium for the UK economy.
What personal qualities do you possess that have enabled you to be successful?
I thought about that for a while. I think that one of the biggest things that I pride myself on really is to try and be reasonable and to not make enemies. Unless I make enemies, if I do make enemies, it's with great forethought beforehand. It's because somebody's really, really got up my nose. But try not to make enemies. Try to be nice to people. And what we say to our team is we want to be nice people without ego or arrogance. And I think that's the way I try and conduct myself. But also my other thing, which is my strength, is the 30 years of experience of this industry on a global basis. So I do understand pretty much what I'm doing.
Now we're going to talk a little bit more about you. What motivates you and makes you want to get up in the morning?
I am very, very passionate about what I'm doing. I am very passionate about the fact that climate change is going to impact us all, and we have to make changes to our lives to stop that. And what I'm doing with Cornish Lithium is very directly enabling climate change to be alleviated by extracting lithium, which is the metal that will facilitate the transition to net zero. Because it's going to go in electric vehicle batteries, it's going to go in power storage batteries. That is a huge motivation to me that I am actually doing something really, really good. And it's also the second thing is doing something really, really good for the UK. The UK is going through difficult times. Obviously, we're going to maybe talk about COVID later on, but this country is now very challenged. We employ 200,000 people in our automobile industry. And with electric cars coming, there is a big threat to the UK economy that those jobs will be lost. And really, if in my role, if we can extract a vital raw material for the batteries, lithium, then we can potentially facilitate and attract mega factories to come to this country rather than transporting that lithium somewhere else to be put into a battery, and therefore save or help to save in some small way the automobile industry, but also to create a new vital industry for the UK. So those are the things that really, really fire me up to get up in the morning.
And is there anything you'd wish you'd known when you first began your career?
When I started my career, the key things I think I'd love to have known more about are really accounting and law, because in my career, it was my background is a mining engineer, how to dig things up and extract them from the ground. But really, what's become essential in the career I chose, which is in finance, was legal and accounting. I obviously now know an awful lot about that, but I wish I'd known more. And I wish I'd done an MBA right at the beginning of my career. That would have been massively helpful to me.
Okay, and sticking with recruitment, what advice would you give to someone starting their career in the finance industry?
I think the advice I'd give is learn. Keep on learning as much as you possibly can. Do an MBA. I think it's a really, really good idea, especially if you're in a non-finance, a non-law or accounting subject. That really that gives you the business background that can get you a leapfrogged above everybody else. It's tough to get into finance these days, but really the other thing I'd say is be motivated and explain to the person who's interviewing you why you want to do it. Because I've had so many people say they'd love to do a career in mining finance and not have a clue why they want to do it. And not being able to explain to me why they wanted to be there, and that it's an immediate fail. So really be passionate about your career, your chosen career path, and make sure you're as qualified as possible to do it.
And thinking about your team and recruitment, what are the key skills and personal qualities that you look for in hiring someone?
When we try and hire somebody, we look for passion, but very, very important to us, that they share our vision of trying to do something good for the world. We also look for, very importantly, no ego. We have a team which we very carefully nurture, and one bad apple can really make a big difference. So we try and avoid anybody who is impolite or has a big ego. We just really don't want that type of person in our team, and that's what we would look for.
Brilliant. Thank you. What do you think will be the key employment challenges faced by the next generation of
That's a really good question. I think the really big challenges faced by the next generation are how is COVID and climate change going to affect all of our lives? And obviously, we are beginning to go through a huge change, partly intensified by the COVID crisis, because suddenly we've all been working from home. We've all discovered that we don't need to get on a plane every 5 minutes. We don't need to necessarily go into the office every 5 minutes, and we can have conversations with one or multiple people in very easy manner using modern technology. But I think the key challenges are really going to be, how is the world going to be affected by that? And I think it's interesting that a lot of finance institutions are now thinking about that. What difference is climate change going to make to the way we work? What difference is it going to be the way we can travel to work? And technology, what changes are coming. So there are just so many changes coming, and so quickly, it's very hard to give advice. But I think it's to constantly read, be informed, you know, read The Economist, read the Financial Times, read everything you possibly can, and read things like The Guardian, because you then get the alternative view, which is so important.
And this is a question that I always ask all of our guests. What are your interests outside of work, and how do you relax?
My interests outside of work are really cycling. I love mountain biking. I love cooking. I've always loved cooking since I was about 16. I love cooking Indian food particularly. And that's how I relax, is to cook. And I really do enjoy cooking. And that sort of tries to get my mind off, which is always thinking about the next challenge with the company and everything else. So it's a great way of relaxing.
And just to finish, we can't avoid the subject of COVID-19. What do you think will be its impact on the global economy during the upcoming years?
I think the impact of COVID-19 is way beyond any of us ever expected. Obviously, the pandemic itself has been an absolute tragedy. But what it's really made us think about is how we could live a better life. And hasn't it been great not to have planes flying over your head all the time? Hasn't it been great not to have so many cars on the road that we can breathe more easily? How is that going to affect climate change? And I think it would have been easy just to say, we've had a global pandemic, the economy's in shreds, let's just go back to driving petrol and diesel cars, and we don't care about that, you know, the electric vehicles anymore. But I think, look at the Tesla share price, that tells you something amazing, that it's gone from $300 a share to over $2,000 a share during the COVID crisis. And that really is a big wake-up call that the post-COVID world is going to be very different, and it's going to be a better place. It's going to be a much better place, and I think we need to really think about how we can all contribute to that. And my mantra to everybody I meet is that there are three important I words, which are imperative, which is climate change, and that's been accelerated by COVID, and that's followed by imagination. How can I change things? How can I make things better? And then innovation, which is what methods can I use from modern technology to bring about that change? So I think that's maybe something to leave you with, is the three I's: imperative, imagination, and innovation. And that's what excites me a lot.
Brilliant. Thank you very much. And thank you very much for contributing to the interview.
Pleasure.